The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome. It's 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday, March 22nd, 2020, and thanks for joining us for the Walking Dead Online Viewing Party here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm host Casey Shapiro, and special thanks to our host and sponsor, NDB Media. Tonight's show contains spoilers up to the last episode and possible content from any current AMC official promo materials. I want to give a special thanks to one of our regulars who's always my right-hand person in the chat room. Thanks for joining us, Joan, and welcome. Let me just make sure she can hear me. And let's get started. So, tonight, we typically start our show a half hour before the new episode airs live each week with recap from the previous episode and discussion of what is to come tonight. At 9 p.m., we'll go dark or mute and watch the new episode together, then give episode ratings from 1 to 10, 1 being and 10 being fabulous. And we'll give you commentary during the commercial breaks, and we'll give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free, so please don't discuss either any spoilers or stuff from the comics in the chat room or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show that's presented. I am going to tell one on myself for Joan's benefit and anybody else's who's listening live. We do have AMC Premiere, and typically I don't watch ahead of time. And I was having problems getting graphics for the show tonight because those of you who come to the chat room, there is a little slideshow of graphics from the show that I do. And so I was looking for stuff, and I went ahead and watched it. And so all I'm going to say is this is going to be a tearjerker. Get your Kleenex. It is going to be an equivalent episode to another character who had an exit episode somewhat recently. And that's all I'm going to say. You probably figured that, but I'm confirming it definitely. You're going to get put through the ringer. So prepare. Get your snacks. Go to the potty. Get your Lysol and your hand sanitizer and all the other stuff you're going to need tonight. Okay. Welcome to Season 10, Episode 13. After tonight, there will be three episodes left in Season 10. Season 10 did the traditional 50-50 split with eight episodes that ran until November 24th. Then Episodes 9 through 16 will run through April 12th, ending Season 10. Immediately following this, I have been telling you guys, it is in question. I'm going to get back to this. Back to this in a minute. Immediately following the new third series entitled The Walking Dead World Beyond is supposed to begin Sunday, April 12th for 10 episodes through June 14th on AMC at 10 p.m. immediately after the Season 10 finale. I don't know if it would be 10 p.m. every week because news that has happened during the week this week is that the premiere of World Beyond has been postponed because of the COVID-19 epidemic. It has had an effect on finalizing production, and it may also have some impact on the beginning of Fear, because Fear was to follow right on the heels of. So I will keep giving you guys dates and information when I have it. I'm going to go ahead and read the rest of my notes because I have them, and I don't have anything more updated than that. And then I'm going to read you something else that I will tell you right now, it's kind of spaghetti, but it's all I've got. So here's the rest of my original notes. Given that prior press indicated we only have 10 weeks of no Walking Dead shows up until this new announcement, we speculate the Fear Season 6 would pick up the following Sunday, June 21st, and do a split 8-8 season to the August 9th, or else run straight through to September 4th, followed by the Walking Dead Classic Season 11 on October 11th. It's just speculation for now. This I grabbed from an article I was reading earlier this week where they commented on how everything's supposed to line up. Again, these notes are outside of the new announcement that the virus has affected the schedule. But this is what they had to say before that. It doesn't quite fit with my guessing above, but I'm going to read it to you. I apologize if this is a little hard to follow. It was for me, too. So the article that I saw in passing said, if Fear premieres its season 6 opener after the World Beyond season finale on June 14th, its mid-season finale will air August 2nd. So my guess was off. Should Fear have an abbreviated hiatus as it did with season 5, going off the air for just 3 weeks in the summer? It would likely return August 23rd and run through October 18th. It's kind of long. The Walking Dead would then air its season 11 premiere that same night or at the latest October 25th. Should Fear run without splitting into half seasons, as is tradition, it is the way, it would conclude September 27th. Last year, Fear season 5 wrapped on September 29th. This would make way for an earlier October 4th premiere date for The Walking Dead 11th season, which is closer to the October 7th and October 6th starts for seasons 9 and 10, respectively. So I hope you could make sense of that spaghetti. I'm going to see what Joan has to say in the chat room. And she says, looks iffy for World Beyond. AMC has changed their site to say coming later this year. Previously had the April date and time listed. Yeah, so we are not really clear what's going on with all of that. And everybody's lives are up in the air. And entertainment in an industry has certainly taken it in the bottom and on the nose with all this going on. Because the heavy amount of contact that's involved in our industry. So this is what I know on that for now. Sorry for the spaghetti. It's what I've got. And I will let you all know what I know as soon as there's anything to know. In the meantime, if you want to chit-chat tonight, feel free to call in to speak with the host at 914-338-0314, especially anytime between now and 9 p.m. You can call during the live show. You will be screened and muted until the commercial breaks where we can chat on the air. If the phones are not your thing, join us in the live chat room. We will be able to listen to the show real time, as well as download the episode after the fact. We usually post the link on our Facebook page and my Twitter and my personal page. So there's the links. If you're unable to join us in real time this evening or any evening, you can still go to those links later on and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening. Just go to the page, click on the cloud-shaped white icon at the top right of the page. You can also download this and prior episodes on iTunes. Okay, tonight's episode is entitled What We Become, which, by the way, shares the title with Red Machete episode number 4, the webisode. Official AMC synopsis is, and this is actually a longer one than is up on their page now, it's been tinkered with. Virgil agrees to provide Michonne with weapons for the Whisperer of War in exchange to reunite with his family on the mysterious island. Additional synopses as usual, and I'm going to pull those up for you now. Let me see if Joan has any further commentary, not at this time. So the first extended synopsis I have for you is from Fansided at UndeadWalking.com, one of our primary sources, and Sarah Beth Pollack, who is one of their main writers for the show, for them with regard to The Walking Dead is what I mean. And Sarah Beth has to say, this week's episode of The Walking Dead, What We Become, features Michonne and Virgil on a quest to get weapons, but trust is hard to come by, especially in the age of the Whisperers. Michonne is on a mission to find the weapons the survivors need to fight the Whisperers and defeat them once and for all. However, she has to put her trust in a complete stranger. This could be a very bad idea. They have the trailer and so on and so forth, and the synopsis which I've given you, writer-director, which we'll do later, and then. This week's episode of Talking Dead will feature a new format. Oh, I'm very glad to see that because they had not yet announced that. I'll get to this later, but the very, very short of it is last week, Talking Dead went dark because of the epidemic, and we were worried it was going to stay there because these are like two of the biggest episodes to not be missing for. Last week, Negan killed Alpha. We want to talk. Tonight, we already know it's super, super public knowledge. It is Michonne's exit episode. We want to talk. So apparently they may be going back to what I pleaded for them to do. Not that they ever listen to me. I get that. But, you know, I just need to put it out in the universe. Chris Hardwick had an argument with his psycho girlfriend, and they were fighting in court. So they did this thing where the studio audience wasn't there, and he just taped the episodes without them. And I said, for God's sake, go back to that. So I think they're going to. So they'll have a new format. We'll talk about that later in the Talking Dead section. So apparently at 10:15 tonight, right after The Walking Dead, as it should be, as is the way, they will have a Talking Dead tonight, because we're all going to super need to talk and vent and cry and do all the things. Okay. Pardon me, I need a sip of water. Okay, that is all that Sarah Beth has to say on that. So let me get the other synopsis for you, which is from bleedingcool.com, which is one of our newer sources that we often use. And theirs is from Ray Fluke, who is their traditional writer about this series. And Walking Dead Season 10, What We Have Become, Will Michonne's Past Prove Prologue. And so, let me check on Joan, see if there's any commentary. She says, not sure if they will have an audience on Talking Dead, but it will air at 10 tonight. Yeah, 10:15. It's going to run over slightly. I don't think they're going to have an audience. I think they're going to go back to what Chris was doing when he was girlfriend fighting and just have a studio and everybody being 6 feet apart while they do it. Something like that. Okay, so Ray says, AMC's The Walking Dead is setting up the second of its 2-week punch to our field. Check out our review of last week's Walk With Us here with What We Become. And considering it's going to be Danai Gurira's final run as Michonne, we're expecting it to be an emotional roller coaster. Spoiler alert, it is. Prepare yourself, because we didn't get a warning before. With vibes that her journey may be left in a to-be-continued status. Also a spoiler because it's all over the place. This is true. With regard to what I said about certain other exits being left in the air, they're giving it the same treatment. I'm not going to say how. That's why we're watching. So to say we're nervous would be an understatement. It's not that we don't trust Virgil. We don't. It's just that these types of, quote, trust missions usually don't end well. Which is why the opening minutes to this week's episode has us so concerned. A flashback to a time when Michonne was only about Michonne that feels as if it was 3 lifetimes ago. And then they have promos and preview images. I'm looking to see if he has any further commentary. It's mostly just photographs at this point. Okay, that's all he has had to say. There are some comments that I picked up from another article on the same page, and I didn't want to lose them, but it is too early for me to say them. So give me a minute and let me scroll down, because I want to mention them later in the evening. I'm going to mention them. I'll put them with when I talk about Talking Dead, because it's fairly late in the evening. It's going to be, they're comments related to the end of the episode, and they're a bit, they're not quite spoilery. They're a little bit spoilery. So I'm going to postpone it at least. All right, so I have moved those to later, and let me go back to my notes at the appropriate time. So those are the extended synopses and comments. I'm going to see if Joan has any further comments. Joan says, whatever works, just glad like you the Talking Dead is back. Yes, Chris, we very much like your show. We like to be able to talk with each other, especially when the shows are all up in our fields and stuff like you've done. Okay, so next part is writers and directors. Tonight's episode was written by Vivian C. and directed by Sharat Raju. Both of those names should be familiar to you guys. All right, Vivian C., San Francisco native, now based in Manhattan, minimalist style enthusiast, happily married, mommy to Aiden Chase, Zara addict, obsessive about bags and shoes. She married her husband, Y, in September of 2016. Professionally, Vivian began her career working with Oscar-nominated producer Mark Gordon on a variety of films, including Emmy-nominated and starring Pancho Villa as himself, as well as with Julie Taymor on Golden Globe-nominated Across the Universe. Since 2003, Vivian has been miscellaneous crew for a few major films, notably The Day After Tomorrow and The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. She moved on to produce for National Geographic and program for the Tribeca Film Festival. Her short film, Preamble, was awarded the Silver Lei Award at the Honolulu Film Festival in 2009. Her feature script, Joe Boy, was selected for the 2013 Nantucket Screenwriters Colony. In spring 2014, she participated in the POV hackathon with the Angola Project. Vivian was an executive story director, for The Walking Dead for all of season 9, but not 10. Tonight is her fourth episode written within The Walking Dead franchise, starting with Stradivarius, season 9, episode 7. Sharat Raju is an Indian-American director and writer, known for creating documentaries and films pertaining to the lives of immigrants in American society. His first film, American Made, M-A-D-E, won 17 film festival awards and aired nationally on PBS's Independent Lens. Raju is known for his work on the show Scandal from 2012. Scandal may be a movie. I'll have to go back and check on that for you. American Made 2003, and Designated Survivor 2016. He grew up in Darien, Illinois, near Chicago, and attended Hinsdale South High School. Former sports editor of the student paper at the University of Michigan, and worked as a freelance reporter for the Daily Herald in Northern Illinois. Raju lives with his wife, Valerie Kaur, K-A-U-R, in Los Angeles. Raju's brother, Manu Raju, is a veteran Washington, D.C. political reporter and is currently senior congressional correspondent for CNN. Raju co-founded the Yale Visual Law Project and co-produced 3 documentary short films as a visiting fellow at Yale's Law School Information Society Project. American Made was Raju's master thesis while studying at the American Film Institute. In September 2004, Raju was named by Esquire magazine as one of the 20 young film directors to watch. Prior to graduate school, he worked for acclaimed casting director Molly Finn on feature films including 8 Mile, Matrix Revolutions, and Matrix Reloaded. Raju has collaborated on many of his works with his wife, Valerie Kaur. Divided We Fall, 2008, was Raju's first film created in partnership with his wife. The couple has made other documentary films, including Stigma 2011, which highlights the impact of New York City police's stop and frisk policy, Alienation, not two words, as in the prior show, but Alienation, one word, 2011, about immigration raids, The Worst of the Worst, Portrait of a Supermax, The Worst of the Worst, Portrait of a Supermax, all one title, 2012, a documentary on the use of solitary confinement in prison, and Oak Creek in Memoriam, 2012, a short film about the 2012 mass shooting at a Sikh Gurdwara in Wisconsin. He's also directed episodes of famous TV shows like Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder, NCIS New Orleans, Criminal Minds, and Mistresses. Directing tonight's episode will be his third time working in the Walking Dead franchise, the first being directing Fear the Walking Dead, Season 4, Episode 13, Blackjack, then Season 5, Episode 6, The Little Prince. Tonight is his first work on the Walking Dead classic, and let's give them some applause and thank you for their work on the show. Okay, guys, it's 8:49 and trivia time. So we've got 11 minutes, roughly. All right, let's see what we can squeeze out here. Tonight is the 144th episode of The Walking Dead ever. It is the first appearance of the location of Bloodsworth Island, Maryland. It is an island located in Tangier Sound in Chesapeake Bay. And prior to the outbreak, the island was used as a naval base with the U.S. Navy stockpiling large amounts of heavy weaponry on it. In real life, trivia, the island was used as a bombing range by the U.S. Navy from 42 to 1990. Even though it's no longer used, the island is still off limits to the public due to contamination from various unexploded shells. Tonight's episode is the last appearance of Andrea in a hallucination, last appearance of Mike and Terry, who were respectively Michonne's boyfriend and brother, I believe. Joan, feel free to check up on that for me. Also, hallucination, zombified. This episode marks Ross Marquand's 50th appearance on the TV series. This is the 10th episode to share the same title of a comic series volume. This does not break our no comics commentary. The others are Days Gone By, Made to Suffer, This Sorrowful Life, Too Far Gone, No Way Out, A New Beginning, What Comes After, The Calm Before, and Lines We Cross. this episode was originally, and you guys will remember I told you this in the original lineup before they switched it. It was originally the 12th episode of Season 10 before being swapped with Walk With Us, which was last week's episode. So last week was going to be 13, and they switched it around. This makes it the third time episode orders have been switched, the first being The Well and The Cell, and the second being Bury Me Here and The Other Side. This episode shares a title with The Walking Dead webisode Red Machete, Episode 4, a piece of trivia that seems not to have been caught by any other show, trivia, or news websites, so yay for us for our first unique content in a long time. Also, Joan, for the record, if you have a moment to add it to our master list, we have a new Walker term tonight. So Season 10, Episode 13, What We Become, from Virgil, the new term is rippers. That's what he calls walkers. All right, co-stars tonight, Anthony Azor as R.J. Grimes, Rick and Michonne's son. Also starring Eve Gordon as Celeste, Function Unknown, presumed to be a spoiler, it is. Same with the next four characters. All of these guys, I can't tell you what they do. It'll spoil the plot. Taylor Nichols, no character named. Olivia Stambulia as Lucy. Brita Wool as no character named. And Andrew Batchelor as no character named. Andrew Batchelor sounds familiar. I think he's worked on the show before as something, and possibly not this character. He may have been something else before, like a walker. Uncredited in the show tonight, Laurie Holden as Andrea, because it's archived footage. Denisha Gillespie as Lisa. She is a resident of Bloodsworth Island, may have once been married to Virgil, or some connection to Virgil. Alrighty, let me check in with Joan. Okay, Joan has been able to find specific notes on the thing I was asking earlier about Michonne. So Michonne's pet walkers, the original ones she had, where her boyfriend is Mike, was the father of her son, Andre, that she lost. And his best friend, Terry, it wasn't her brother. It was Mike's best friend. Neither were blood relation to her. That's fine. And rippers, she'll take care of adding. All right, it's 8:53. We've got 7 minutes. Let's get some trivia from last week. Things that we didn't have before. Last week's trivia. Last appearance of the character Mary, a.k.a. Gamma. With Mary's death, Adam, the baby, is the last known member of her family confirmed alive. The last appearance of Earl Sutton. With Earl's death, there are no known original members of the Sutton family left. Adam is the only remaining member of the Sutton family. He's not original. Last appearance of Alpha, alive. With Alpha's death, Lydia is the last known member of her family still alive. Beta is the only one of the three dominant Whisperers left alive. This episode last week marks Melissa McBride's 100th appearance on the TV series, making her the third person to achieve this mark after Andrew Lincoln and Norman Reedus. The title of the episode, Walk With Us, refers to Beta's last words to Mary when he kills her, telling her that she will walk with them, meaning Whisperers, again. It also refers to Lydia's words to Mary, where she tells the latter that she will never walk with Whisperers again. This episode's title is nearly identical to the title of the Season 3 episode, Walk With Me. This episode reveals that Carol was the one who released Negan from his jail cell and silenced the Whisperers, and that the two had been working together all along to take down Alpha. This is also the first time that Carol and Negan have interacted on screen. This is the first time we see Judith Grimes directly kill someone. Her reaction suggests it was also her first direct human kill. Magna and Connie are revealed to have survived the cave collapse and squeeze, ultimately using the walker guts trick to hide amongst the herd. However, Connie's fate remains unknown as she and Magna got separated. Alden makes peace with Mary shortly before her death. Beta's face is partly revealed when Mary rips his mask. Beta's celebrity status and profession is hinted at when a Whisperer recognizes him and says that his voice sounded familiar. In Fear of the Walking Dead, Beta's face can be seen on a record revealing him to be a musician. It was one of the ones that Daniel lost when he was running, and it fell on the ground and we saw. Lydia uses her staff as a walking stick after being injured, similarly to Henry following the events of Choke Point, and Morgan Jones in the first half of season 4 of Fear, and later in the episode, I Lose Myself. The Talking Dead episode that was meant to follow up to this episode was canceled due to the coronavirus pandemic. All right, 8:55, more trivia. Deaths from last week. Hilltop Millwright, listed as Savior 32 and now part of the Horde, played by actor William F. Bell in seasons 6 and 7 and Lex Lewis in seasons 8 through 10 and last week. Begging Whisperer, also known as Whisperer 14, actor is unknown still. This is the Whisperer last week who tried to kill Judith, but she stabbed him first. He begs her not to kill him, but succumbs to his wounds anyway. Trivia, it's unknown if anyone put him down or if he reanimated to join the Whisperer's horde shortly after. Despite having a speaking line, this character remains uncredited. This Whisperer is Judith's first human kill. Mary Gamma, alive and zombified, although she was put down by Alden, so I don't know why they have her listed as alive, because she was taken out. Chanting Whisperer, played by William Gregory Lee as male Whisperer, called Chanting Whisperer in that one episode for chanting the creepy mantra in the woods, random character Whisperer 13. This was the Whisperer that approaches Beta after a piece of his mask was ripped off by Gamma when he was killing her. He recognizes Beta from his days as a musician, though. Beta attempts to silence him. However, the Whisperer brings up how he recognized Beta's voice as well, and an enraged Beta slits his throat with a knife, killing him. Trivia, he is one of 7 people known to have seen Beta's face. This is interesting. The other 6 are Lydia, Alpha, Mary, Beta's best friend, Daniel Salazar, and Grace, with the latter 2 being unknowingly. Earl Sutton is alive and zombified, although I beg to differ again because Judith put him down. Alpha, alive, zombified, although it's just her head, now Carol has it. Some of these notes I think are a little sloppy. Sorry about that. 8 unnamed Whisperers were taken out, 1 unnamed Alexandria resident off-screen, 2 unnamed Oceanside residents off-screen, and many unnamed Hilltop residents, 1 alive, off-screen. Goofs, errors, bloopers. This is an interesting one, and there's no way to go back and see it, which is kind of a shame, but oh well. In the premiere episode of this, premiere version of this episode, meaning the one that we can see a couple days in advance, an iPhone could be seen in Beta's inner pocket, shame on you, Ryan, when he rested Mary against the tree. This part of the scene was quickly changed after this realization. All right, it's 8:58, so let's do birthdays, and then we'll probably have to stop. March birthdays for the upcoming week. Russ Blackwell, who played Donnie, one of the saviors, March 23rd from Rockville, Illinois. Keisha Castle Hughes was Joan, a patient at Grady, March 24th. She's from Donnybrook, Australia. Kaylee Presley Fleming, Judith Grimes the Older, March 25th from, I don't know how to say the name of this town, P-I-C-A-Y-U-N-E. It has a weird pronunciation. She's from that town, Mississippi. Joan, if you happen to find out how to pronounce it, please let me know. Rich Ceraulo, C-E-R-A-U-L-O. I'm sorry I'm butchering that. He plays Hero, J-I-R-O, Savior Lieutenant, March 27th birthday from New York City. Scott Gimple, showrunner, March 29th from Berkeley Heights, New Jersey. And Scott Wilson, who played Herschel, March 29th, and he is from Atlanta. Let's give everybody some big birthday love. Thank you, guys. All righty, and we are coming up, so I'm going to shut up, and I'll see you guys at break number 1. It's not going to be a very long opening. I'll let you know. See you in a hot minute. Okay, guys, like I told you, because I happen to know, very short opening. It's 9:02, so let's go ahead and get those scores up. I'm going to say 5-2-5 only just because of weirdness. You know, it has at least has my attention being so short, but it didn't give us much to go on, so I'm not willing to go any higher than that. We'll see what Joan has to say. Other than, flashbacks, fun times. Okie dokie. So we have a couple minutes. We've done birthdays. There was no music that we could identify. Somebody had been asking online what the music was that was playing in the background when Negan killed Alpha, but we could not locate it. Quick reminder, since we have a hot minute, unaccounted for characters, still Heath, still Sherry, still Rick and Anne slash Jadis, still Maggie, although we know she's coming back, but we have no indication of how that's going to work out. There are rumblings and spoilers, and I'm not mentioning them. They need to give us, show your work here. Little Herschel, Maggie and Herschel, and Georgie, the woman that's been rumored Maggie's been running around with. And also, where is Winnie? The girl who ran away. In the episode last season, season 9, episode 14, Scars, the one where Michonne was pregnant and her friend from college and the band of little children came after her and tormented her. It distinctly still notes her ultimate location and fate remain unknown. I don't know if this was just sloppy plot writing or if they've left that open for any kind of a reason. Winnie was not really a notable character, so I can't think of why, but I like to note these things. You know, I hung on for a very long time for Emma Caulfield in Fear to get cleaned up, and it never did. So anyhow, here's the notes that I moved down that has to be at the end. I'm going to take a look and see if I want to hold them still. So this one's not that spoilery, but it's just interesting. The soundtrack at the end of this episode is the same music that played in the episode when Rick explodes the bridge and we think that he's lost. And it is episode relevant. The second note is a little too soon. So I'm going to move that down again to the very, very end, as much as I can. I'm going to say, yeah, that's good. I moved it down as much as I can, and I'm going to try not to read that until we're pretty close to the end because I don't want to ruin it. Okay, Talking Dead. We had not been sure it was going to be on due to virus concerns, but this week's episode of Talking Dead will feature Scott Gimple and superfan Yvette Nicole Brown, plus a surprise cast member, My Money is on Danai Gurira. It comes on at 10:13 p.m., so tonight's episode will run over slightly, and then it's going straight in. We don't know what's going to become of last week's episode because it was to have hosted Walking Dead alum and star of The Prodigal Son, Tom Payne, as well as two special guests, one of whom I imagine was going to be Samantha Morton. They tweeted and said, you know, emergency, we're going temporarily dark, but that footage was prepared, and if it was a live show, they've got to recapture that somehow. They have not indicated what they're going to do about that. And I'm sure Tom is pretty hot because I know it's common knowledge in the fandom that he feels kind of shafted. Anyway, we are back. I'll shut up. I'll let you guys watch and see you at break number two. Okay, 9:17, huge break before commercial break number two. I'm going to go to 6. Jones is 6.5. Let me see here. Joan has mentioned. It's funny, but as I went back and watched the series from the beginning, again, over the course of a few months last year, I realized I found myself really annoyed with the character of Andrea. I was actually glad when she died. I don't remember feeling that way when it first aired. So maybe it was because I was watching a couple episodes at a time and not spread out over years. And I don't know, there were a lot of characters that were dumb depending on the writers who had hold of them. I do actually kind of feel like I want to go back and watch everything from the beginning again. But Joan continues, I just found her mannerisms and attitude super annoying. Kind of like Virgil on the screen right now. Sorry, really? And then she was like, oh, wow, mass suicide by hanging or mass murder. And I'm pretty sure it was suicide. So John's at 6'5", I'm at 6". And she says, I love Michelle, but can I just say, not loving this Virgil guy, me either. Although, here's an interesting thing for you. I do have to say that events of the last few weeks have definitely reminded me that as much as we like to think that we're smarter in real life, that one of the interesting things this genre in general pokes on is that there are a lot of people in real life that are really that dumb. So Joan says she has no sound. Yeah, I am talking. Let's see if she has to refresh to be able to hear me. All right, I am fooling with my mic and everything, so hopefully you guys can hear me. I'm not sure what Joan has missed, so I don't really know if I can go back over the comments again, per se. We talked about Talking Dead, and so we are back to the back half of season 10. Joan is back and has refreshed, and that did seem to clean it up. So, 9:20, we're in the middle of break number two, reviewing the back half of season 10, what is left. Episode 14 next week, and I always have to do this because I love this. Let me see. My little wave that I made, and I never get to use it, so I'm always so excited. So next week is...
Look at the flowers.
That's next week's episode. Writers, Channing Powell. Directors, Daisy Mayer. March 29th. Episode 15, The Tower. Writers are Kevin Diebolt and Julia Ruckman. Director, Satro. That's April 5th. And the season finale, A Certain Doom. Writers are Corey Reed, Jim Barnes, and Eli Jornet. And directors, Greg Nicotero. And it may be Jornet. I actually saw a correction earlier. I have to double check on it. April 12th. Other upcoming shows on NDB Media, please go give your love. Thursday the 25th, Travel Itch Radio, Journeys to Oklahoma. Oh, yeah, we are not back. That's Better Call Saul. On Thursday, March 26th. Whoa, is it 25th or 26th? Let me double check for you guys. I may have done this wrong. It is the 26th. This is my bad. So, 26, Travel Itch Radio, Journeys to Oklahoma, when Shoshana Wasserman of First American Museum guests on the show. Listen live as Dan Schlossberg and co-host Keita Roberts learn about this coming enterprise scheduled to open in 2021. We are back. I will do the rest later and see you guys at break number three. Okay, guys, 9:26. We're at break number three. I am going to scoot up to 6:05. Joan is staying 6:05. And her comments, damn, he drugged her. Not as a surprise, given his gathering of plant material on the way in, though. Okay, so let me go back to my notes. Okay, so other shows on our network. Saturday the 28th, Sports Talk with the Guys, Saturday Morning Extravaganza. I'm not reading that crazy-ass intro that Roger Noriega wrote. You guys know the drill, blah, 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 zombie apocalypse, and so on. Okay, so that'll be March 28th. It'll be 9 in the morning Eastern Time, 6 in the morning California Time. So go listen to the crazy guys talk about sports and some world events and so on. Wednesday, April 1st, even though that will skip over Sunday the 29th show, I'm just giving you guys heads up. Rock and Roll Shrink Radio Show, episode 86. Don't have a title yet, but we're coming up with a show to talk about coping with emergencies such as the current pandemic, because there are a lot of people who are having coping strategy problems. So we want to go over that. Okay. So we're halfway through the show, and there's the other commentary, and I still feel like it's a spoiler. So I'm not going to read it because I want you guys to just see it. But all I am going to say of the comment is that it confirms the assertion that this show leaves her fate open-ended in the same way that other characters have, that they may have a future in the movies. And this is all I'm going to say. I'm not going to read the rest of it. Too spoilery. All right. Discussion topics I'm just going to throw out there. This is going to come up later in the show. It's not a spoiler, though, because this has happened 100 times before, but I'm just going to point at it because it comes up again. So, random discussion topic, how in the Kentucky Fried Hell does everybody in this show have random access to so many properly charged up walkie-talkies? It comes up in this episode. Like, how are people charging these things? What are they plugged into to charge them? How are all these chargers not breaking? Because, Jesus Christ, I know my chargers are breaking left and right under normal circumstances. Not that I have walkie-talkies. Actually, we have one pair of it. You know, all kinds of chargers get abused and break and have to be replaced. How does this go on? They're like several years into the apocalypse, and there's no Amazon Prime. All right. Joan, if you want to comment on that, feel free. It's 9:29. We're still in a commercial, but probably not much longer. I'm stalling to see if the Mercedes commercial is going back into the show or not. But I have a discussion link I am going to pull up. Ryan Hurst teases something very exciting after meeting with the Walking Dead boss, Scott Gimple. And they have a quick Star Wars trailer, so I'm going to pull that up. This is by Cameron Bolomono at comicbook.com, who's a frequent writer about this show. Here's a trailer for, I think, Norman Reedus' ride. Yes. Which means we're probably going back, so I won't get into the article, but I've got this pulled up and we can talk about it. And we are back. I'll see you guys at break number four. Okay, guys, it's 9:41. Joan and I are both at 6:75, and I'm going to pull up commentary real quick. By the way, the Walking Dead rewards, if you're doing that, tonight's word is militia. And Joan has mentioned that she just saw a teaser trailer for a new series, which looks like Lenny James may be in it, and she's not sure if that bodes well for the fate of Morgan on Fear. If y'all remember, last time we picked up with Fear at the season finale, it looked like Morgan was going to die. But as often happens with this show, you know, it's kind of like Friday the 13th. If you don't actually see Jason die, he didn't die. So she's not sure how that enters into whether Morgan is gone from Fear or not, or whether she's already been pissy at Fear and was expressing a lot of, I'm not sure I'm coming back, you know. I will still be here if they do Fear. We don't even know if that's going to happen right now, considering what's going on. So, you know, I'm not convinced Morgan is gone from the show. It'd be interesting if you could tell us more about what that show was that you saw Lenny James. It could be an excuse for him to be in limbo for a while. I don't really know. I don't know if this is his Whiskey Cavalier. Lenny James is pretty awesome, but I don't recall that he's had his own show. I actually know him from Jericho, which had an ill-fated, truncated ending. So, not really sure. But anyhow, I promised you guys some Ryan Hurst article. So, let me see if I can squeeze that in real quick. Ryan Hurst, who has played Whisperer Beta for 2 seasons on The Walking Dead, teases a, quote, very exciting thing that may or may not happen. Of course it will, Ryan. After meeting with executive producer and chief content officer Scott Gimple, a towering killer who never removes his mask made from walker flesh. Not true technically-ish. I was under the impression that his best friend's body was just there. Do you remember, was his best friend a living walker? I thought it was just a corpse. Can't remember. Anyway, hiding his celebrity secret identity. Beta's origin story was glimpsed in Season 10 episode We Are the End of the World when Beta first encountered Alpha, Samantha Morton, while disguised by a balaclava. Subsequent episodes of The Walking Dead hinted at Beta's life pre-apocalypse, followed by a reveal of his true face in Fear of the Walking Dead, but The Walking Dead universe might take another peek beneath the mask. Quote, it was one of those little psychic things. When I first had this premonition of doing this job, I sort of saw this character and I had this backstory. Hearst said at Comic-Con Liverpool. When they offered me the job because I had read the comic, I knew the storyline for Beta, and I went in there and I pitched a completely different sort of origin story, and they liked it, so we developed it together. You know, as often happens, and this is me talking, not the article, frequently the television show has deliberately done its own thing when it comes to storylines instead of doing what the comic said. Anyway, back to the quote. And I just had a meeting with Scott Gimple, and there's a very exciting thing that may or may not happen that I cannot talk about, Hearst added with a laugh. Very funny, Ryan. A former five-season Walking Dead showrunner, now serving as overseer of the Walking Dead brand across television and film, previously noted the franchise would expand with multiple miniseries, specials, and other shorter-length series, some of which could further explore even killed-off characters. Gimple has not revealed if Beta is among the characters who could be brought into bigger focus in a project outside the traditional 16-episode season format of The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead. We are back. I'll see you guys at break number six. Okay, I'm going to a 7. Joan's staying at 6, 7, 5, and I don't know, Joan, what do you think? She's like sniffing all over them boots. Like she knows them, just saying. We were a little fuzzy as to Beta's best friend, whether he was Walker when he had his face taken off or not. I asserted that he was just a dead body and Beta didn't have the heart to get rid of him. Or he might have been reanimated. I just don't remember. Anyhow, not sure if he was famous along with him or not. Could have been a bandmate and best friend. Risen and then put down by Lydia, after which Alpha convinced him to wear his friend's face so he would always be with him. When Lydia wandered off, Alpha found him and put him down. I think it was Lydia. So there are boots. And these boots aren't made for walking. They're made for hanging around a strange ship. Alrighty, let's go back to the article real quick while we have a hot moment. Alrighty, quote, television is changing and that's exciting because we could tell stories in other formats than 16-episode seasons. I think we'll continue to do that, and we have plans for that, but we also have plans for shorter-length series, Gimple previously told The Hollywood Reporter. Quote, for miniseries, for things that are like specials, and it's taking advantage of not only the different stories we can tell, but the different formats we can tell them in. Some of these proposed projects, which would span a variety of tones, could run for anywhere from 3 to 16 episodes. Quote again, not everything we put out is going to be connected to any of the existing shows, Gimble noted. And I will note, early in the history of this franchise, there were a lot of strange little webisodes that came along. There was 3 or 4 of them in the first couple of years. And then later on, they started doing that thing with Fear when Fear came along. Okay, continuing the quote. And further, some of it might not even need to go beyond a certain length. We do want to do these smaller things that are completely their own thing and then do something else. Some stuff could be 3 episodes, some stuff could be 6, some stuff could be 12 or 16. End quote. For now, Beta will carry out his revenge against the survivors when he discovers Alpha's decapitated head in Season 10, Episode 14, Look at the Flowers, premiering next Sunday. Alrighty. That is the end of that article, and I just wanted to make sure that got out tonight. Some of the articles I've been saving from you guys have aged, and those things have been settled, so I did not want to read those to you first. Okie doke. Let me see. I see some possible. Oh, no, I was mistaken. It was not commentary. It was just people chatting and saying things to me. Although they should know, I'm on the air. Don't chat to me right now. Alrighty, it is 9:54. Tonight's episode is going to run a tiny bit over. Pardon me, I have a little bit of a tickle cough. Alright, that is the end of that article. I'm stalling slightly because I see another article from the 22nd, and I don't want to read it to you tonight because there's other stuff going on. So I'm going to just grab it for next time. But just to give you a tickle, The title is The Walking Dead creator Robert Kirkman finally explains how the zombie apocalypse began, something I have been whining about ever since I started doing this show, that I wanted them to address that. So that is a fairly new topic. It's going to go to the top of my list. But then I've got several articles that I have not read to you guys yet, and I do want to get to that at some point. So I've got that on hold. I've read to you everything else. And we are back, so I'll see you guys in a few minutes. Okay, guys, it's 10 o'clock, but we're not quite over yet. I'm staying at 7. Joan's coming up at 7. We still haven't settled the question of what exactly all that stuff is, but I think we all know that those are Rick's boots. And I'm fuzzy on the phone. I'm assuming it wasn't originally Rick's phone because obviously it wouldn't have been working. And he's lost his stuff so many times. So I assume it was just a random phone. He just wrote things on it or someone wrote something on it. I don't really understand how any of that's possible. But I guess we will find out. And that's, you know, giving us a little teaser for the movies. Incidentally, I will point out that we've heard commentary about how the start of World Beyond has been delayed because of things and how Fear may be in danger of being delayed because of things. What we haven't heard anything about either way is any of the movies. So I don't know, Joan, if you have heard any press releases about the fate of the movies in relation to the current, you know, virus issues and everything else. But I'm curious. We'll have to keep an eye on that as it'll enter into this whole plot. All right. It is 10:01. I know we're running over a few minutes because Talking Dead will follow right after, and that's at 10:13. I really have a whole lot extra to read to you guys right now, and I kind of don't want to start on anything new because I won't get very far with it. And let me see if I have any other articles. There are articles I could bring up, but some of them are so ancient. This is all old stuff. So I tell you what, I'm gonna just pull one up for the hell of it. So this one is super, super ancient. And it's been superseded by now. This was written back in September by Cameron Bolomono. It was the Walking Dead showrunner on Michonne Ezekiel's Kiss. What it means for Kara Ezekiel. I hate these little couple names. We know some things that have happened to that couple since then, but it might be interesting just to discuss a little bit of commentary since we have a couple minutes we're obviously trying to kill. So, the Walking Dead showrunner Angela Kang says the kiss between Michonne and Ezekiel will feed into their respective season 10 journeys as the king navigates a complicated dynamic with ex-queen Carol. Speaking to TV Line, Kang admitted, quote, there's a certain amount of stuff in season 10 that has to do with illusions or flashbacks or dreams, things like that, end quote. But this romantic development is real. Yeah. I'm not sure she said that because that goes against other things that she said and quoted. Quote, we're seeing a moment. This really does happen, Kang said. The characters have always had a respect for each other. They like each other, and their relationship feeds into the journeys they're on this season. Despite their split over the death of son Henry, Ezekiel and Carol will have a really interesting ongoing storyline this season, Kang said. The two of them are kind of in their own realms, but alone in their grief. It's like they need people and each other. End quote. Indeed, they do. Ezekiel, now overseeing the merged Hilltop and Kingdom communities of Kingtop, is plagued by the darkness brewing within him, obviously an allusion to the cancer, while Carol suffers from horrific visions of her dead son. I don't want to say too much beyond that, Kang continued, but there's some real loveliness and complication that's very human between them that hopefully will be satisfying for people to see unfold. When addressing the buzzy trailer moment on Walking Dead Season 10 preview special, Peyton would only say that the kiss would lead to a lot of speculation, admitting there already has been. Asked to explain the romantic encounter, you know what, it's not romantic, it wasn't, but they say these things, just to keep us talking. Peyton joked, you get lost in the woods, you get bored, things happen. The Cosmo Michonne Ezekiel coupling is borrowed from the comic books. It's already common knowledge. There's been speculation Carol taking over one of Michonne's comic book storylines in which she spends a lengthy time away at sea could signal doom for Ezekiel. But we know that didn't go that way. Speaking on Ezekiel's Season 10 story at San Diego Comic-Con last July, Kang would only tease his journey promises to be a surprising one. Now we're finally back. Okay, see you guys in a bit. Okay, guys, it's 10:13. We're both ending on 7.5. Quick commentary. Joan hasn't heard anything about the movies as far as their status. Talking Dead is broadcasting from their individual homes. No studio and no studio audience. Why the heck couldn't they do that last week? I pointed out, Joan says it's not like it's new technology, but setting these things up securely takes time, as somebody who is familiar with some of these procedures. It's not a pre-existing model for them, so they got to get things set up. And yes, we all wish they could have arranged it earlier. They really should have, considering that this virus situation has been talked about for weeks. They should have expected it. So Alpha's dead. Michonne's off looking for Rick. Now bring Maggie back already. But we've got 3 episodes. And I think next week is going to be about Beta finding out Alpha's dead. So on. Okay. And we both really love Judith. Kaylee is really an amazing actress. She has an out-of-character, disturbingly Wednesday Addams way of being adult. And I really dig it. I had a lot of childhood friends like that. And on occasion, I kind of got like that. But anyhow, Joan also says, I knew that only the idea that she could find Rick would ever take her away from her kids, that or her death. And Joan had said, funny, Chris said what she said about the technology. They didn't think of it till after last week. And shame on you guys, because Joan is right. The technology exists. But, you know, once you think of it, that's great. It is a big pain in the ass to go set it all up and get everybody connected, have it be secure and not hackable and so on and so forth. Anyhow, I'm going to let you guys go and watch this. So I appreciate you guys being here with me, especially you, Joan. Always a big, big help. And I will see you guys next week. I'm pulling up my notes that I want to make sure that I say before we go. Thank you not only to everyone joining us tonight, but those of you who may be listening later via podcast, iTunes, or the Blog Talk Radio website. Special appreciation to our host, NDB Media. We hope you will join us next weekend for another live watch party on the same network for episode 14. Look at the flowers. Please watch our Facebook page for showtimes and episode links. We will see you guys next week. Thank you so much, and good evening.